VKA. This is KD2VKA. I'm just doing a quick program. Radio. Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K0ORK, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. The net operates on the Minnesota, Wisconsin room, number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are K0ORK Chuck, 80MI Pete, K9EQ Chris, N0YQ Steve, Whiskey 4 Indy Oscar Delta Otis, November 0 Julian Oscar Lima Joe, and November 0 Papa X-Ray Tango Shane. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who is the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavick Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Mounds View, Minnesota. A chat window is available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. And let's see. Net Control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. And if you cannot get in, try emailing us at the MinWiz chat, and then select MinWiz, and then MinWiz chat. Somebody will bring it to the Net Control's attention. With that, I have one announcement for the net this evening. Hams in the Park will be happening for the second time this year. We had one earlier this month, but April 10th starts at noon. All things ham radio, Long Lake Regional Park here for anybody in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area. Otherwise, set one up for yourselves and maybe we can make some contacts back and forth. We've had a pretty good showing and people have really enjoyed what we've been doing, so might be worth checking out in your own area. Anybody else with an announcement for the net, please check in now. Give me your name, city, and state.
Well, that was a lot of silence. I'll see if I can check in. I'm Jim. City here is IA in Hawaii. Whiskey Hotel 6 Quebec.
Right. Well, we have our first contact for the night, probably the furthest we can get away from Minnesota here in Hawaii. Whiskey Hotel 6 Quebec, Jim. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm pretty new to wires. Yeah, cause I just connected all the stuff up. Took me almost a year to get it so I can use it. Anyway, running a DR1X, talking into it with a 3207 on analog. I'm using it on analog all the time, hoping there would be some activity here, but it's a UHF repeater that I'm hoping to have simulcast with the Missouri's repeater on 2 meters. That will be good. So it's kind of like my own private little hotspot, covers pretty much all down here around the Pearl Harbor area from Barber's Point, Old Naval Air Station, around to Honolulu International, and a little bit beyond. Not real great, but a handheld, it'll make most of that area, but it's right here at my house. Barely above the ground, because I'm in a restricted area, so it's on all my TV antenna, actually. So back to that control from Whiskey Hotel 6.
All right, Jim. Well, thanks for checking in. You know, if you use digital, you get better range, and you'll also be able to get into a lot more rooms that support digital. So just a couple things to think of there. But with that, I will check and see if there's anybody else with a name, city, state. If you've got something to share or a comment, go ahead now.
KC4JCB, this is Craig from Louisville, Kentucky.
All right, Kilo Charlie 4, Julia Charlie Bravo, Craig, Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you. This is the first time I've ever checked into this net. I'm a relatively new operator. I'll take it in October, I guess. But I'm pretty familiar with the IT side of things, and I worked with the club here in Louisville to bridge, to set up a fusion repeater and get that bridged into the YSF reflector that I built in AWS. So I had fun figuring that out and doing that. I've got the digital network in this area tuned to this WireSX room tonight, so hopefully some others who have been interested in the different digital modes and hotspots are going to be able to listen in and hear a little bit about what's going on in your world. KC4JCB.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in. Welcome to the world of confusion. Hopefully you've sorted a bunch of it out and you can keep helping the guys in Kentucky. Again, I'll make the call for anybody with comments or questions for the net. If you've got one, go ahead now. Give us your name, city, and state.
80MI, Lionel Lakes, Minnesota.
Alpha Delta Zero Mike India. Pete, Lionel Lakes, Minnesota. Go ahead with your comment or question. And just so everybody knows, that is the 80MI that I announce every Monday as being part of the net control team. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, thanks, Chuck. And yes, that is me. Like Craig, though, I do a little more of the networking side of things. So, anyhow, a question that I wanted to pose to the net as a whole, and I know that Odie is having this problem, or maybe it was a friend of his, but anybody with FTM 300 that is getting image ghosting or image persistence on the screen, I'm curious if there's anybody else out there that has experienced that. I have my 300 here. It was one of the first ones that came out, you know, was within the first few weeks of them releasing the 300. And I leave it on, I don't know, about probably 10 or 12 hours a day. Generally, it displays the same frequencies on both VFOs, and I'm noticing that there's significant image ghosting on the screen, like where the voltage is displayed and the other statuses at the top, like for the GPS lock and the SD card and whatnot. But you can also see it where I have the call signs programmed in and also the frequencies on the display. You know, so if you're flipping between various menus on the radio, you can see that. And I do have images of it that I was going to post on our Facebook group there, so if anybody was curious. So anyhow, I guess that's the main question is anybody else seeing this with their 300s? And if so, how bad is it? Back to you, Chuck. 80MI.
All right, Pete, thank you very much for posing a good question. So I'll throw it out there. If you've had FTM 300 that you have image ghosting, if you do, come on back, let us know what you found, and, we'll move on from there. So if you have image ghosting on your 300, check in now. Name, city, and state.
Kilo Oscar 4. Kilo Delta X-ray, KO4KDX, Rob in Fisherville, Kentucky.
All right, we've got one. Kilo Oscar 4, Kilo Delta X-ray, Rob, Fisherville, Kentucky. Go ahead with your comment or question.
All right, thank you, Chuck. Now, this was in regards to the question about ghosting. I have the FTM 300, and as far as on my end, I haven't experienced that problem. I'm not for sure where I saw this at, but a couple of days ago, looking around on the internet, searching for something on the 300, I'm not sure what I was actually looking for, but I did come across a couple of message boards where a couple guys showed images of that ghosting problem. So I haven't experienced it personally, but I did see a couple message boards out there where some other people were talking about it, so it does appear to be a problem. So I just wanted to share that I did see that someone else had, some other guys had experienced that problem. It's KO4KDX, Rob, out in Fisher Hill, Kentucky. Back to you, Net Control.
All right, Rob, thank you very much for that. And I have seen the pictures, and, well, they're definitely there, so. Anybody else with ghosting on their 300 screen, please check in now. Name, city, and state.
K9EQ.
Yeah, good evening, Chris, and thanks for checking in. I will send it right to you, so K9EQ, go ahead and take it.
Okay, I'd say the ghosting thing's at the research stage. There's been some kerfuffle about it on the internet. And I guess on Minwiz here, we would be interested in, you know, information where the providence is known, you know, because pictures can be messed with and whatever. So not saying that didn't occur, but just that nobody knows the providence of the photos, except for probably one person. So just interested in people's personal experiences. And rumors and things can go pretty wacko on the internet. So I did do a little research on TFT color displays. Now, keep in mind, I do not have an FT3 or an FTM3300. Never even seen an FTM300. So obviously I'm an expert on it. I was trying to guess where Yaesu was getting the display from, because I've been in the product design business, and I don't know who makes their display or anything, but I did find a site that has what's called a transflective display. A transflective display is an LCD display where you can see it in bright sunlight. So, like your iPhones and Samsungs and stuff like that, those are not transflective displays. So they can easily get completely washed out in bright light. Whereas a transflective display, you can still see it. Transflective display is the same as any other LCD, pretty much. But I did notice that the manufacturer of this one display had a note about not leaving the same image on the display for a long period of time, which kind of surprised me. So I researched it. And it turns out LCDs, depending, can have image retention, you know, like the old days with the CRT, so, although it's not permanent. What happens is the liquid crystals, if they're kept, they're mostly polarized in a certain direction. They tend to prefer that direction, and it doesn't take much to, you know, create a color shift or something like that. Now, on the FTM400 and the repeaters, I've got the display on my repeater here running 24/7/365. It has no issues whatsoever. So obviously, not all LCDs have that problem. So. I'm not sure what the differences are or what might cause it in one brand or another. The 400 does have a very high quality LCD in it. It's probably the best I've ever seen. Other types of displays like OLED do burn in, but it doesn't sound like the 300 is using an OLED. You can kind of tell if it's a transflective display. And by the way, not a lot of people are using them anymore. But it will not have very good color saturation. It may have good wide viewing angle and things like that, but it's not going to have colors on it that really pop. They're a little more muted because of the way the display has to work. Anyway, that's the backstory on that. So the other types of displays, the segment displays and things that don't display graphics, it's usually not an issue with those displays either. So, just a curious thing because I was quite surprised to find out that TFTs, LCDs, can have ghost images on them. I sure have never seen one before. Anyway, back to that K9EQ.
All right, Chris, perfect timing on that, just as the timer went off. Thanks for the heads up on what you've learned on the technical side of it, and, we'll move on from this question and see if anybody else has any other questions, comments for the net. If you do, give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now. All right, so a brief blurb on Kilo Echo 8 Oscar Juliet Romeo. No audio. If that was you and you were trying to get in, give it another try. This is your chance. Go ahead now. Nope. Kilo Echo 8 Oscar Juliet Romeo, you've got a problem. No audio on this side, so I guess you're back to troubleshooting. Again, looking for anybody with comments or questions for the net, this is your chance. Go ahead now, name, city, and state. We'll take them in the order received.
Net control, please copy Kilo Delta Niner Golf Hotel Oscar. Stu in Chicago.
All right, Kilo Delta 9, Golf Hotel Oscar, Stu in Chicago. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, good evening to the net. This is KD9GHO. No real comments. We just tuned in. We heard you talking, and we wanted to see if we could check in. Have a great net. This is KD9GHO. We're back listening.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in and saying hello. We're pretty slow tonight, so that works. But looking for anybody who might be wanting to have comments or questions for the net. So if you do, give us your name, city, and state.
KC4JCB Recheck.
KC4, Julia Charlie Bravo. Craig, go ahead with your recheck.
Thank you. I have two FTM300s, and I had two questions. The first is I was wondering if anyone has encountered the display crashing and just displaying all zeros when running digital modes and using the WireTex button. And the second, I have a picture of this that I could provide and see if anyone's run across something similar. The second is, are there any tricks that anyone has learned when in the upgrade process? I've never actually successfully finished it because I have USB detection problems in the, I guess, the second stage of the upgrade. The only caveat, I guess, that I have is I run this within VMware Fusion, so a Windows VM running within VMware Fusion on top of a Mac, because I'm a Mac guy, not a PC guy, and never been able to finish the upgrade. So any comments or guidance are welcome.
All right, I'm going to push that one off to Otis here. Whiskey 4, India, Oscar Delta. Why don't you go ahead?
All right, Chuck. Yeah, we'll see if we can have Craig out. Well, on the first part of the question, I haven't had any... I'm on the 300 right now, by the way, and I haven't had any issues with image persistence here, thankfully, and I better knock on wood. And the Gremlins, as far as the zeros and all that on the 300 display, no, sir, I haven't had that issue, Craig. And unfortunately, Yaesu, N9UPC, is very adamant. They design all their things around Windows, so myself and Chris and some other individuals like to experiment from time to time, and the VM should work, but, you know, your mileage may vary on that. And Chris said it won't be as easy. I'm sure that's true. But if you can actually borrow a Windows computer and install the drivers for it and go ahead and update that, that is one thing that we do recommend as far as keeping the firmware up to date on the radio. They don't always share the bug fixes with the firmware, and then there's some added features that have been passed along from radio to radio. I've done the firmware update on the FDM300. I forget what the actual reason for it was, to be honest with you, but it is up to date as far as the firmware. The secret is just to follow the directions. It works out pretty easy, but they do recommend a Windows operating environment to do that. Hopefully that helps you out, Craig. Chuck, I'm going to pass it right back to you, W4IOD, back to Net Control.
All right. Thank you, Otis, for the answer on that. And I have a follow-up question for you, Craig. Are you using a remote face cable or one that you've made? The included cable or one that you made on that? So, question for you, Craig. Back to you.
I've actually used both types of cables. I have one in my truck that needs an extension, and then I have one on my bench that doesn't. So I've tried with both units with a similar result, and I certainly appreciate the comments, and that's probably the obvious answer I should pursue is use a native Windows machine. Just in my line of work, working in an IT field, I've used dozens, if not hundreds, of USB devices of all variants. A, B, C, 2.0, yada yada, lots of them. Without exception, I've never had a failure other than the Yaesu. So it's really kind of curious that that singular device out of the dozens or maybe a hundred that I've used in my career just have some issue with the VM. It's certainly possible, and I'll wrestle down a Windows machine and get it. The directions are definitely straightforward. It's simply a matter of can't complete the steps because the device is just never recognized as a USB device within the VM.
Kind of SWR on the HF rig, it seems to get, I think, into the USB cable that goes to the wires.
All right. Well, Craig, I'm sorry it's not the answer you wanted, but hopefully when you get that Windows machine, everything will work as advertised. Moving on from that, name, city, and state. If you have a comment or question, that's what we need, your name, city, or state. If you do, go ahead now. We got more time. We'll take more questions.
SCU-20 went up and down, but it was also putting up some other weird letters up there. It's like, and
K92.
The antenna, but I guess it wasn't liking that either, so I just have to be careful. All right, well.
All right, K9EQ, Chris, go ahead. You got anything new for us tonight?
No, actually, I do have a couple things. Seems like it's maybe about time to mention what's going on with ham operator. At hamoperator.com, we have a calendar, which you can click to, or hamoperator.com/calendar. And the calendar has all its times in Central. And I would have thought that would have been real easy, that it would just display in people's local times. Not so much. So, courtesy of timeanddate.com, which, by the way, is a fantastic website. If you ever want to know anything about time, we've got GMT, Eastern, Central, Pacific, and ACDT up there. Of course, everybody knows where ACDT time zone is, so you can kind of correlate the differences. I can add more time zones, should that be interesting. And so there, I've gone through the calendar, and I've gotten rid of all the dead nets, or a number of dead nets in there, and I think that all the nets that are there now are actually alive and well. So it's a good spot to go and see what the fusion-related nets and events are happening. So Chuck, earlier in the broadcast, Chuck mentioned the hams in the park, so that will go up there as an event, you know, things like that. So the calendar should be more up to date. If there's things that are missing, let me know. Generally, like to put things up there that would be of general interest to most people. IESU's doing something. John's doing something. And my new PC that I just became aware of. And they have the CQ America room, 21,000, which is, anyway, which nobody uses. And he's decided to, like, on the 21st of each month, just kind of a all-day hangout. And so March 21st, I switched the repeater over there, and, you know, there are 30, 35 people connected to it, coming in and out. So that is on the calendar as well. The next 21st appears on a Wednesday, so I don't know how well that will be attended. It's also in the evening going to compete with the San Antonio Digital Net, the Canadian Net, which is a fine net, by the way, Yellow River Digital Net, and the Illinois Link Net. Wednesday's a busy day, and by the way, if you want to have a net, Friday is open. Nobody has a net on Friday. That appears to be like the good day, so a good time. So hamoperator.com, and you can go and check that out. The other thing that's happening over on hamoperator.com is if you go into the MinWiz section and you go down to MinWiz Nets, I've done a little editing on that page, and we've more or less started recording the nets. So the older stuff is down below, and I move some stuff up to the top in a new format. There's a little arrow you can click on, like a play button, and you can listen to the net. And there's a description of what the net is about. And I'll just tell you what the top ones up there are. Back on November 16th of 2016, we had a panel discussion on introducing Fusion to your ham radio club. In May of 2018, we had the Hamvention special. March of 2019, we did a special on hotspots. And the 1st of March, it was just our regular net, and the 15th of March, and I forgot to turn the recorder on the 8th of March. So there you go. So, there are the recordings. You click on the date, you can download it. It's basically just a link to the MP3 file, or click on the little play button, and off you go.
Down in the, they're on the system.
So that's some of the things I've been working on with ham operator. Some other things going on in the background. Gonna come up with a different system for downloading files and some other technical things going on in the background of the software. There is under MinWiz a you can go in, there's a category of, like, live data. And under there, there's four different types: last heard, connected nodes, active nodes, and active rooms. The active nodes tells you which rooms are connected and that are not, or which nodes are connected, or not connected, but operating, that are not in Japan. I filter out Japan just because to make the list twice as big. That's sorted by country, state, and city. So if you want to see what nodes are around your area or an area you're going to be, that's a good place to look. Those are nodes that were actually working within the last half hour. So the nodes automatically don't appear. And all repeaters that care will also appear as a node as well. And usually the frequencies are there, so you can figure out something from the frequencies. Active rooms are rooms with more than one station connected, because there's a whole bunch that have nobody connected. And also rooms that are not in Japan. So there. On connected nodes, you can see who's connected to MinWiz, including the YSF network. And then the last heard list lists who's been on recently. This stuff gets updated about every half hour or so.
Right.
Every once in a while, it's interesting to go and look at the last heard list to see what kind of radios people have been using, because of part of the, when everybody transmits, there is a transmitter ID, I call it. They later called it a DGID, same thing. And that information includes the type of radio people are using. It's getting a little distorted because some of the hotspot things that don't use a radio fake an ID. Well, we're going to be taking care of that. So since it's been reset, have 899 unique transmitters have appeared. So let's go see what those consisted of.
So did you get your
World, the FT3 is the newest HT out there, and we saw 136 different FT3s. FT70 is winning at 144. FT2 is at 87, and the FT1 still hanging in there at 32, but obviously interest declining in it. And the introductory radios, the mobile radios, all of which are discontinued now. The 3200 and the 3207 are 10 and 5 respectively, and the 7250 at 57. So, you know, they might have been popular, but, you know, they didn't move hardware like the FT3 does, or the some of the others. The FTM400 is the winner at 183. But it's been around the longest. That radio was originally introduced in November of 2013, and it's still there. So it's got a long history. The FTM300, which is much newer, is at 62. So a lot of people buying HTs is what that looks like. And the FT991 is at 102, which is doing pretty good for the 991, because that's mostly an HF rig. And that's that kind of indicates to me the more people are playing around with Fusion on their 991. And we have 5 DR2X repeaters. There should be 0 DR2X repeaters. When you hear those loud 1, 2, and 3 beeps, that's IMRS linking through to Wires X, and that's when one of those repeaters show up. So anyway, the last heard list, you can go in there, look for your own call sign, see what's what. I got somebody with a call sign of FT991A, which is the default. It was on there at 19:29 and 42 seconds. So you might want to add your call sign, or you add call signs if you're listening. So anyway, that's that. I think is all the news that's fit to print.
I did that already.
Well, I will turn it back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
Firmware off the radio.
Thank you, Chris. I always do enjoy the update to see who is using what. That always piques my interest. Looking for anybody else with comments or questions for the net. If you've got them, now's your chance. Name, city, and state will get you on the list.
I am trying to read page 21, SD card to the transceiver, and do the information off the radio.
Chuck, maybe I'll mention one other thing here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when you put it
with... So I'm going to make this last call for the net. Last call for the net. Comments or questions only. Name, city, and state. That's the information we need. Go ahead now.
Back in the...
K7MHM, Bellingham, Washington.
That's the order that you want to do that to. Have you got that all? Okay.
Yes, I got that. I'm going to try that right now, but I can't be talking to you and do that at the same time.
All right, I guess I doubled with Chris, and we also have Kilo 7, Mike Hotel Mike, and November 4, Delta Lima Whiskey, with no audio. K9EQ, Chris, why don't you go ahead?
Go for it.
I wanted to add a little bit to the running on macOS and virtualization. And that is, KC4JCB just pointed out that he's using VMware, and their virtualization product is called Fusion. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody. So he's using Fusion to allow Windows to run on his Mac to program his Fusion radio. Anyway, yes, smiley face. Very good, Kevin. Anyway, it should work. Basically, it looks like he was okay with the FT3, but the way those drivers, first of all, you got to make sure you got the driver installed or nothing's going to happen. And they're a little trickier. I think you end up installing a Renesas driver, which they use basically to communicate with the USB controller on their chips, which is what Yaesu uses. Normally you don't need that, except when you need to basically talk directly to the bootloader of the radio. And so, and of course, nothing's going to go anywhere fast if that driver is not just, you know, really, really happy with things. The trick would be is to make sure, you know, there's configuration stuff in VMware to manage things like I/O ports and whatever. And the trick is to make sure that the Mac OS is not grabbing the USB port, and that the USB port's being forwarded onto Windows. You know, if Mac OS grabs it, and I know some people using Parallels, and I've used that, and that's one of the things I hated about Parallels was they wanted to integrate it so much into the Mac, it was like you couldn't separate it. So anyway, just, you know, and it should work fine, plus or minus the difficulties. Probably the best piece of advice is, no matter how clear the instructions are, they really do have to be followed very precisely. And the recommendation is to, and actually for anybody doing the firmware updates, print out the instructions and actually, you know, check them off one by one. Because you only need to slip up in one spot and you're a goner. That's not going to work. Don't forget the boot switch, you know, things like that. And I'm not sure any reason why it would not work on VMware. But even on Windows, you know, if you don't have the driver installed properly, and I like to say there's a few things that Windows does not do very well. It does not do audio very well, and it certainly does not do USB very well. Not thrilled with the file system and a few other things either, but it is horrible at USB, and it's easy for the Windows subsystem to get, you know, tripped up over its own shoelaces. So I would say just, you know, follow the signal through, make sure the Mac OS is not grabbing the USB, poke around in the Windows Device Manager, and you should see it there. So hopefully you'll get it figured out. And anyway, so I just wanted to mention that yeah, that should be possible. There is a project, kind of. I'm still adding names to the list, to try to get the WireSX software to run under Linux. There are problems with doing that. And there's non-trivial technical problems in doing this. What we really need is somebody who is familiar with device drivers. Hopefully, ideally Linux and Windows device drivers. We'll take either one, but there is emulation. There is software for Linux that will run the Win32 API, which is what the WireSX software uses. But what does not happen is that the Windows drivers don't run under Linux, of course, because it's not Windows. So what that means is we have to come up with a driver to substitute for the one that Yaesu provides. And if we can do that, we can probably get WireSX running under Linux. Not on a Raspberry Pi. It's got to be an x86 processor. So FYI, if you're interested in that project, toss me an email, chris@k9eq.com, or otherwise, and we're desperately in need of people that like to write drivers. Back to Net, K9EQ.
All right, Chris. Well, it sounds like it's slowly moving forward, as you said, and hopefully we can hope for more. Next on my list is Kilo 7 Mike Hotel Mike. Michael, out of Bellingham, Washington. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. K0ORK, this is K7MHM, and I'm sorry I came in late. I just got my HRI 200 working again and was able to pick you up. Do you people have a website that I could go to? If so, please give that to me.
Well, I think the best place to go to would be to go to hamoperator.com. It's got the most information about the stuff that we do here. A lot of information that we talk about here gets posted on there. So give that a try, hamoperator.com. Thank you, Michael. And we'll try, last on the list is November 4, Delta Lima Whiskey. No audio the last time, so why don't you try it again, and you'll finish out our night. All right, nothing heard there, so we'll call it a night. This net meets here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time, and we cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck K0 Horror K, and everyone have a great week.